I'm redoing what I did last class quickly so that we don't need to miss the class at least today. So prakritihi, see Brahman, the consciousness, is endowed with this power of knowing. The power of consciousness is called prakriti. And this prakriti alone is, prakriti is given two different other names, maya and avidya. So the same prakriti he obtaining with reference to the whole universe is called maya. With reference to an individual is called avidya. And I said how avidya is known as karana shariram. Last class I said that. Let me repeat what I said last class so we don't have missed the class. See, this prakritihi, maya, avidya are the most confusing words. All over people have lots of confusions and vagueness about these words. If you know why prakritihi is, all the three are the same words. Power of knowledge, power of reality, the power of consciousness only is called prakritihi. Chit shaktihi. Shaktihi of chit. The power of consciousness. Why it's called prakritihi? Because jagat karanam prakritihi. When you look at the prakriti as the jagat karanam, you give the name maya. But look at the same prakriti as the cause of the karana shariram, you know, karana shariram, then we call it avidya. When you look at the prakriti as jagat karanam, causal universe, karana prapanchaha, causal universe, you give the name maya. When you look at the same prakriti as the cause of the sula shariram, you call it avidya. Which means, whether avidya or maya, both are what? The causal universe and causal body. And what is this causal universe, maya, the karana prapanchaha, the maya, otherwise karana prapanchaha, nothing but prakritihi. Cause of the universe is, maya happens to be the cause of the universe, we say karana prapanchaha. Because only in the cause, the jagat remains unmanifest, undifferentiated, okay, uninteractable, non-accessible. The same way, avidya also we say is the cause of the body, because of which the sthula shariram comes into existence. And this, that is why the word prakritihi, if you take, prakarshena kriyate anaya iti prakritihi. Prakarshena kriyate anaya iti prakritihi. Anaya means what? That by which something is made. So any material cause is, for any material is called prakriti, for example. Now clay is the prakritihi with reference to pot. Why? Kriyate anaya iti prakritihi. Prakarshena kriyate anayayati prakritihi. So material cause. So what is that which is the cause of this universe? We say, because where does this universe remain? No, unmanifest, undifferentiated. Where does the universe exist, if you say? Which is only prakritihi. Like all the parts have existence only in the clay. It means outside, it's not there outside of this prakritihi. Which means, then we call the maya, the name is given. Why we call it maya? Like how you know the meaning of the word prakriti now. That out of which, by which something is made is called prakritihi. And here the power of consciousness also is known by the term prakritihi, isn't it? Now, why it is called maya? Ya, ma, sa, maya. That which is not actually is called maya. that which is not there absolutely, எது உண்மையில் இல்லையோ இருப்பது போல் இருப்பதோ. So ya ma sa maya means what? That which is not by itself is called maya. Again, why this prakriti is called avidya? Because that which does not know its own existence. Therefore, it's called avidya. Now, before we go to the maya, how maya is the karana prapancha, we understand only how avidya is the karana shariram. Why avidya is karana shariram? We'll see maya also today. When you say avidya is the karana shariram, see, if you see how this physical body, a human being, how does one assume this body and is born here? See, assumption of the human body, assumption of the physical body, and being born here with this body itself is possible only for the sake of exhausting punya papas. Punya papams, the karma phalam, prarabdha karma phalam, in the form of punyam and papam, needs to be exhausted by going through pains and pleasures in karmadip karma, for which alone this body is there. So experience of enjoyment of pains and pleasures, the pairs of opposites, the dvandvaha, is not possible if we do not have bhoga ayatanam. Isn't it? You need an abode of enjoyment remaining where within individuality you can experience the maya punya papams. So assumption of the shastra makes it so clear what brings this body into existence is, it is the punya papams. And whose punya papams, that's the problem, isn't it? So in giving karma, body comes. For the body to come again, which means there must be punya papams are there. Why punya papams are there? The punya papams we accumulate as a result of the karma, the actions we perform. And the actions are performed by what? Actions were actually expressions of, actions are always impelled by our raga dveshas, our desires in the form of likes and dislikes. So what is the cause of the performance of actions? Karmanaha karanam kim. Okay, shari punarjanmanaha karanam. For the rebirth, assumption of another body is because of the karma phalam. What is the cause of karma phalam? The performance of actions is the cause of the phalam. What causes the fruits of actions? Karma. So karma is the cause of karma phalam. Okay, then what causes the karma? What is the cause for karma? What causes the karma? The karma is caused by the likes and desires, of likes and dislikes in the mind, in the most thought. So every action is expression of the desires, the ragadveshas in the mind. Once you get the body, then the biological needs also what now? Result in performance of actions. Therefore, anyway, mainly the desires in the mind become the desire is the cause for karma. Ragadveshas. Now, what is the cause for the desire? What causes the desire? Why do the desire rise? We say Bhagavan created desires, or put the blame. No, nobody created the desires here. What is that because of which desires, likes and dislikes are? Thoughts. Everything is natural. Only then you can get rid of the guilt. Okay? Any desire is, any ragadvesha is very, very natural. And the ragadvesha, desires in the form of likes and dislikes, they all arise because of the fundamental desire. The common human fundamental desire, all the desires. Desires may vary from person to person. all the diseases, sarve sarvaha ashaha, all the diseases, ragadveshas, are expressions of the fundamental desire of wanting to be different from what I am now, what one is at present. I want to be different from what I am. I want to be bigger than what I am. And I want to live long happily. I want to be happy always everywhere with everybody. Basically, I want to live long happily. This is the common human fundamental desire. This, if you ask any desire, if you analyze, we have not done the analysis. Just taking any desire. Why I have this desire? Why I do this? Why there is a pressure in the constant is a pressure in the mind. I want to achieve this. I want to do this. Why? Sometimes mechanically also you may have that pressure, the desire. No, why do I do this? If you analyze your actions, you can see there is somewhere in the corner of the mind, there is a desire. There's a ragadvesha. That's why you're doing it. And which means why I have this disease? Why do there is a pressure? Without our knowledge, there is an inner pressure in the mind. No, and then the cause is I want to be different from what I am. I want to prove myself to be different from what I am. I want to live long, happily. Now that this desire is there. And why that desire is, what is the cause of that common human fundamental desire? And that desire is because of all the notions, views we have about ourselves. What is that notion every individual entertains about oneself? Whether we never think of we have this. Definitely we don't really analyze and think, do I have this notion about myself? No. You may not even know that you have these notions, but there is a strong deep-rooted notions about every individual. This fundamental, I am a mortal. I will die one day, even though we don't want to die. You know, we don't think of death every day, especially when you're very young. And definitely there's the mind, there is a deep rooted notion that I am a mortal. This is there in the everyone's mind. I'm a mortal. And then not only that, I'm going to die one day. I was born on this day. Apart from this, all the time I am small. I am inadequate. I am small. I am inadequate. This is also the notion. I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy. I'm insignificant. I'm small. I'm inadequate. These four sentences are very important. I'm unhappy. I am insignificant. I am insecure. I am inadequate. I am small. In fact, the I am small is one sentence. That I am inadequate. I am small. I am inadequate. I am insignificant. I am insecure. I am unhappy. These are the five sentences you have to remember. These five can be elaborated, okay? So I am small and inadequate. This is a notion I have about myself. In fact, if you ask, no, I don't think I am small. You may say that also. But we are thinking, there is a smallness. There's a sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I, which gives rise to this what? These notions. So that's why there's always comparison also possible. And we compare ourselves with others, the society. And then every time we compare ourselves with other people, who are better than us, our smallness gets triggered. Then there is inferiority complex. Every time when we compare us with other people who are inferior to us, there again superiority complex, but anyway, there is smallness. So this sense of smallness centered on I, in fact, the pain itself, every situation, whenever the smallness and on I is triggered, there is something called pain. The jealousy, to be frank, jealousy, hatred, anger, and this pain also. All these things, they come only whenever your smallness is triggered. You forget the sense of smallness on I sometimes. When you're very busy with occupied something, engaged in something, you forget. But every time this smallness is triggered, the pain comes. That pain caused by sense of smallness triggered in your mind alone expresses itself in the form of jealousy, hatred, and anger and all that. Therefore, and this, if you ask this question, why this sense of smallness centered on I? Why do I look upon myself as an limited individual? Why do I see, isn't it? Why there is a sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I? If you ask this question, definitely very simple. You see yourself being a limited individual. Why? Because the limitations of anatma are superimposed upon the atma, which is called adhyaropaha, isn't it? The body's problems are looked upon as your problems. The mind's problems are looked upon as your problems. The problems of sense organs are looked upon as your problems. See, you will be going through, even however excruciating pain you're going through, no, the physical bodies, that is the anubhava, isn't it? You are, even that objectivity must be there. Definitely. I'm not saying you don't have the pain you are there as an experiencer, but still the objectivity must be there because you take the physical problems are becomes your problems. The sukshma, my mental problems become your problems. Sensory problems become your problems. So not only that sthula, sukshma, even karana shariram, isn't it? Ignorance also. So I am ignorant. I did not know anything in sleep. And you say, what does it mean? Even there, you take the avidya's nature as your nature. Let that all these are somehow the anatma's attributes are superimposed upon, taken as the atma's attributes. And this is because of this only the smallness comes. Why do you know I'm a mortal? That notion is because entities, you take the body's qualities as your attribute. Body object to death. Because identity is with the body, you take the body's attribute as your attribute. Body's quality, body's dharma, anatma dharmas are taken to be atma dharmas. So mind has confusion, mind has pain, mind has everything, the sadness and sorrow, everything. Again, all those the thoughts, their dharmas are taken as your dharmas. So here definitely this body, mind and complex have their limitations, have their, the dharmas. So all those dharmas of anatma are taken to be dharmas of atma. And this is called adhyaropa, is the cause for the wrong notions one has about oneself, which is called ahankara. So ahankara. Ahankarasya, desire, ahankara is the cause for desire. So here, and this is because why this error in the perception, why this superimposition, why do you mistake the anatma dharma as your dharmas? It is because there's erroneous perception, first of all. Adhyasa is there. You see yourself through your body. You see yourself through your mind. You see yourself through your sense organs. You see yourself through your body mind-sense complex. See, your abode of enjoyment, your instruments of enjoyment are taken as yourself. You are the employer, isn't it? You are the employer who you employ your sense organs, instruments of enjoyment. You make use of, you are the user of the instruments of enjoyment. You are the one who deciding the abode of enjoyment. But you mistake the instrument of enjoyment, boga sadhanani and boga ayatanam, the abode of enjoyment. The physical body is boga ayatanam and all the sukshma realm is boga sadhanani, instrument of enjoyment, and you are the enjoyer. But you mistake yourself for, mistake those abode of enjoyment, instrument of enjoyment for yourself. This is called what? Adhyasaha. And why do I do that? You know, I, the enjoyer, I am, mistake myself for the instruments of enjoyment and the abode of enjoyment. Why? That is because you know you are, but unfortunately, naturally, that knowledge is not given to you what you are. You know you are, but you do not know what you are. This half knowledge is the problem. You do not know what you are. Therefore, this not knowing what I am, the ignorance, and this ignorance is also what? Avidya. Isn't it? And it's avidya when you do not know, when you know you are, but you do not know you are half awake. And in sleep, avidya is what? No, ignorance is total. Purna avidya, isn't it? Purna avidya in sleep, ardha avidya in waking state. Therefore, this is the cause. How avidya is the cause for karna shariram, for assuming another body. Therefore, when you resolve this avidya, what happens? When you know what you are, now you know you are, when you know what you are, your vidya becomes purna vidya, isn't it? Now, purna vidya, purna jnanam. When in the wake of the knowledge of what you are, when you have purna vidya, your knowledge is total, in what happens? Everything, all these problems, adhyasa will be resolved, adhyaropa will be resolved, all your desires will be resolved, the sense of inadequacy, etc. will be resolved. Therefore, what happens? Even the karma will be resolved. Not only that, in purna jnanam, what happens is, the wrong notions, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, notions also will be resolved. My God, this is very important. You shift your identity from the body, mind's complex to the consciousness, knowledge. The I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, those notions also will be resolved. As long as adhyasa, adhyaropa is there, the notions I am the doer, I am the enjoyer also will be there. So in purna jnanam, these notions also will be not there. Then what happens? You become free from all punya papas. When you're being free from all punya papas, you see yourself being free from sanchita karma, agami karma, even paradha karma, for example. But as long as paradha is there, you are there as witnessing what the body mind complex is going through. So you see yourself being free. You were never bound. You were never the doer. You are not the doer. You will never become the doer. So in purna vidya, in purna jnanam, once the paradha ends also, the mind, with it, all the diseases will be resolved for good, isn't it, in jnanam. If you ask how to undo my disease, I tell you can never undo your disease. You can never undo your ragadveshas. You can never undo your actions. Okay? We actually, the notions will be resolved. All the desires, where there is fullness, all the desires will be naturally resolved. You are not giving up the desires. Desires will resolve for good. So even as a wise person, even if you are doing karma also, you are not doing any actions for the fulfillment of your happiness. There's no fulfillment of actions and the desires for the sake of happiness. Therefore, there's no, once that such a mind, when the paradha ends, what happens? That mind will be resolved for good. In jnanam, you can ask, in the Purna Vidya, where there is knowledge, I am what I am, that jnanam also is there, then in the wake of the knowledge of the self being awareness, the I sense being identified with the consciousness, resolved in consciousness, reality, then there is only fullness. There is no inadequacy. There is no smallness and on I. Where there is no inadequacy and smallness, there won't be disease. See, nothing can trigger the disease. Even Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, isn't it? Upanishad also says this. This person, Indriya Arteshu Karmasu Na Anushajyate. What does it mean? He is not attached to the external objects. He is attached to the karma also. What does it mean? Because no external object can trigger a desire in you. Why? Because the desire is possible only there is, if the object, if you are interested in the object of the pleasure, enjoyable through that object. The person who revels in fullness will not crave for no pleasures. How can the fullness, when you are reveling in fullness, how can you crave for the pleasure, which is a fraction? So fraction of fullness is what? Fraction of fullness is pleasure. Pleasure is the fraction of fullness. So it's not that you have any hatred towards any object here. The person who revels in the fullness naturally will not be interested in, will not be distracted, disturbed. No external object can stir and any, can become instrumental for any desire to rise. Got it? Therefore, you won't have any, it's like how the total dispassion, Purna Vairagyam, is possible only in Jnanam. I always say, when you're passing by these dollar shops and these pound shops, you know, there's so many things are sold. And you just keep walking. You are not interested. You walk, you go to the shop to buy something what you want to buy. Where the children who go with you, they'll stop there. And they ask for all those things. What is called dispassion? You are not interested in those things. You're going out of desire for those things. Similarly, for a jnani, how you pass by the dollar shop, not being tempted to buy something in dollar shop. Because there is nothing that you need in dollar shop. Only for children they have things. Like that, everything you see, wise person sees, nothing triggers passion, nothing triggers desire. The mind of a wise person. Why? Because he is not, you know, this is called Purna Vairagyam, implies Purna maturity. And he becomes free. And such a person's mind, where all the desires and ragadveshas are naturally resolved, thereby all other emotions are naturally resolved through knowledge. So in jnanam, all of them will be resolved for good. That's why we say there's nothing which is as purifying as the knowledge. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. Only in jnanam they'll all be resolved for good naturally. When they resolve, then such a mind, when the paradha ends, the mind leaves the physical body. What happens to the mind? Mind is resolved for good means that mind cannot come back. Know why? There are no unfulfilled desires. There's no sense of smallness centered on I. Sense of inadequacy centered on I. All wrong notions have been resolved. So no thoughts can rise. Therefore, that mind is the resolved mind for good. That's called real death of, that's called absolute death. Understand why? That mind cannot come back. Therefore, assumption of another body is also not possible. That's called Videha Muktihi. Understand? So one must have Jeevan Mukti to have Videha Mukti. As long as there's Ajnanam, there'll be Adhyasa, Adhyaropa, Asha, Ahankara, then this sense of all these things will be there. Then karma, phalam, then janma. Is it clear now? So again, janmanaha, what is the cause of rebirth? Is a ignorance. Samsarasya karanam kiyam? Ignorance. Rebirth is what? Being born again in order to go through the paths of opposites in life is called what? Punarjanma is what? Samsara. So now I think last class I just touched the point how causal, why it's called causal body. Is it clear now? Avidya is the causal body, means because of which alone, as long as avidya is there, are we destroying the avidya here? No. We are not destroying the ignorance. We are not undoing the ignorance. We are only resolving the ignorance. Ariyami Aitthal, we say, no. We are not destroying it. We are only resolving the ignorance. How do you resolve it? By knowing what this avidya is. What is this avidya? This avidya is not, where does the avidya exist? What is the locus of avidya? What is avidya is? Understanding what avidya is, what? Understanding what you are is understanding what avidya is. In knowing what you are, what this I is, this, what is this I? In knowing what I am, avidya also becomes known what it is. Which means you will resolve, there's no avidya. There's no such a thing called ignorance at all. There's only knowledge. That is why it'll disappear. No, in knowing what you are, in knowing what the truth is, the beauty is, you will say, there is no avidya. There's no such thing called avidya. There's only knowledge. Avidya will disappear. That is why that which is not there really. Yama sa mahaya, understand? That is why it is karna shariram. Now we'll move on to the next thing. Then why we say maya is jagat karanam? This is, I'm, this context I'm talking of, it is not to do with this verse itself. Why maya is called jagat karanam? This also I told you. I gave example. The whole jagat remains unmanifest, undifferentiated in maya. Like any, all the effects remain unmanifest, undifferentiated in its cause. And what does this cause? The power of consciousness. When you say, so this power of consciousness, does it take this independent of the consciousness? We have to ask these two questions. Does it have independent existence? No. If you say it has independent existence, then it becomes dvaitam. If you say it's part of consciousness also, it becomes visishtadvaitam. It is neither the part of consciousness, nor is it different from consciousness. So then what is it then? We say, that's why I told you that day, I gave example of that water and the stillness. The stillness, when you say the stillness of water, you are 100% sure there is something called stillness which you are experiencing. So you cannot say it is non-existent. But you cannot talk about the stillness independently without the water also. Is water part of the water? Is stillness part of the water? Or is stillness different from the water? Distinct from the water? If you ask the question, you can say stillness is not distinct from the water. Why? Because stillness has no independent existence minus water. Is stillness part of the water? You can't say stillness is not the part of the water also. Now why? If you say stillness part of the water, when the stillness undergoes a change, then water also should undergo a change. It's very important, okay? If you say stillness is different from the water, you are a Dvaiti. If you say stillness is part of the water, you are Visishta Dvaiti. Okay. If you say stillness is different from the water, how can you say that? See, they're wrong, because stillness has no independent existence outside of the water. Therefore, it is non-separate from the water. If you remove the water, stillness will disappear. Therefore, it is not different, distinct from the water. But is stillness the part of the water, angamva? Like how head is not the body, but head is part of the body. Your hands and legs are part of the body. Like that, is stillness part of the water? No. If you say yes, it is part of the water, then the problem is whatever change happens to the part, it will happen to the water also. If you have the pain in your back, you say what? My whole body has a pain. We don't say only that part has the pain, isn't it? So stillness is part of the water, where stillness undergoes a change. Stillness is of the nature undergoing a change. Then water also should undergo a change. Therefore, stillness is not the part also. Then what is stillness? Stillness is water. Stillness is not separate from the water, distinct from the water. Stillness is not part of the water. Stillness is water. Inseparable power of water. And that is why the stillness alone undergoes a change to become the waves and ripples. So where does the stillness exist? What is the locus of stillness? We say the stillness enjoys the existence of the water. It doesn't have existence of its own. So stillness undergoes a change to become waves and ripples. Again, what is the cause of the ripples and waves? The cause of the ripples and waves is stillness only. Because when the ripples and waves resolve, there is stillness. It's law of conservation of mass and energy. You understand here. Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. All the waves and stillness resolve, there is stillness. The stillness undergoes a change, waves and ripples. Waves and ripples resolve, there is stillness. Stillness undergoes a change, waves and ripples. Ripples and waves resolve, there is stillness. Whether it is cause, stillness, or effects, waves and ripples, they do not have existence independently outside of the water. So, karyam is also water. Karanam is also water. Really speaking, there's karanam and cause, both are mithya. Satyam is water. So that is why, and you want to know, what is it then? Is it real? No. It is not real. This stillness is not real. Why it is not real? It has no independent existence. it is not countable as a parallel reality. So it is not real. Is it unreal? No, because I am experiencing it. It is neither satyam nor tucham. What is it then? It is anirvachaniya. That which cannot be defined as real or unreal. Satyam or tucham is called anirvachaniya, is what? Mithya. So maya is anirvachaniya. Therefore maya is mithya. He has no independent existence. Understand? Now you say, this power of consciousness is consciousness. Power of consciousness is consciousness. But consciousness is not the power. Understand? Therefore, karanam, maya is also chaitanyam. Karyam, jagat also is what? Chaitanyam. But what is different between maya and the jagat then? Only one difference. Now what is it? Maya, between maya, okay, now between the stillness and the waves, let us take the one thing. What is the substance? What is the substance? There's no substance called stillness minus water. Water is the substance. Waves have no substantiality. So stillness also no substantiality. Stillness is only a word. No. Waves also only a word. The words, they don't have any substance. Non-substantial form and name. Namarupa. Waves and the stillness. Water is the only substance. Is it clear? Water is the only substance. This stillness is a non-substantial form and name. Waves and ripples also non-substantial name and form. Form and name. Substance is only water. Therefore we say what now? They don't have independent existence outside of the water. What is the difference between the wave and the stillness? The substantially there's no difference. The substance of this substantive, stillness is water. Substance, substantive, waves also is water. Substantially, there's only one substance. The difference is avastha vedaha. Between the two, stillness and the waves, between cause and the effect, the difference is only in avastha, not in the vastu. If you see, if you look at the stillness as the karanam, waves as the karyam, karana karyor madhye, vastu bhedaha nasti. There's no difference in substance. Because substance of the stillness also is water, substance of the waves also is water. But what is the difference between karana karya avastha bedaha? Avastha bedaha means what? Karana avastha. Stillness is karana avastha where all the waves remain unmanifest and undifferentiated. Karana avastha. And the waves are what now? When the waves are names and forms are manifest and differentiated as waves, small wave, big wave, etc. Then this karya avastha. Karya avasthayam, the names and forms are manifest and differentiated. Karana avasthayam, they remain unmanifest and undifferentiated. So avastha bedaha, that's all. Vastu bedaha nasti. Why? The substance of the waves, substance of the ocean is one and the same. Your karanam is mithya, karyam is mithya. The only satyam is water, isn't it? Got it? Therefore, we have to understand what now? Whether the karyam or the karanam is neither part of the water, nor is it different, distinct from the water. It is water. They are not one, but they are not two. Therefore, advaitam. eva satyam. We will see that if we say this visuddhi dharma, some problem will be there. So we'll understand that later on. Anyway, this much is enough for you. This much is Chandogya Klan, I'm telling you a little bit today. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about it. You can come and listen to it tomorrow if you have time. So here we say, then what is this? Therefore, Maya is what now? Now, if you ask the question, is there something called Maya? What is Maya? What is stillness? Stillness is water. Dissolved stillness in water. Now, what is this power of consciousness, Maya? Maya is Chaitanyam Brahma. Mithya Maya is Chaitanyam Brahma. So, Mithya, Jagat also is what now? Jagat is like the waves. Mithya, Jagat also is Satyam Brahma. Therefore, what is there is only Brahma Chaitanyam. There is only knowledge. What is Maya? Power of consciousness? Consciousness only. Where is ignorance now? Where is avidya? Not there. When you resolve it, you can't say what now. When you say, there is only water. Similarly, there is only knowledge. You start with avidya, you resolve the avidya now. Got it? There is no avidya. It is only water. Once you see the water, you will see avidya disappeared. You resolve avidya. There is only jnanam. There's only jnanam. In Tamil, we have a beautiful expression. Arivin totrame anaitum. Arivatra arivallada verundringillai arive devam. Arivu allada verundringillai. There's nothing other than knowledge here. There's no God other than the knowledge. Consciousness. Okay? Therefore, we'll understand finally what. Therefore, how Maya is Jagat Karanam, how causal, we call it causal universe, and how Avidya is Karana Shariram. That I understood. I explained today. So I'm going to stop the class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.